1, 2, 3, Tucson, that counts us into hour two of the Creative City Show on this Tuesday. Hope you all are having a good day. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, as every day, Monday through Friday, 10 to 12, we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, debate, and discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting us there. And I'm looking forward to what we do, as we always do on Tuesdays, where we talk about big ideas, some things from more of a macro scale. Mondays are often where we talk about specific Tucson issues. Tuesday, we look at big ideas that have the opportunity to shape Tucson's future or address some of the opportunities and challenges that we have as a community. And that means that this is an hour where it is you and me, Tucson, or you, wherever you're at in the region. Our signal goes pretty far south. I was in Casa Grande the other day, and I heard our station. So we go really far up north as well. And on this show, we take that opportunity to talk regional issues, talk Southern Arizona issues, as well as metropolitan and city issues as well. But this is an hour where you can join in the conversation. 790-2040 is your live line call-in number here on 1030 The Voice. And if you were with us in the last hour, right about 10:30 or so, we kicked off 20 minutes or so of just straight conversation on our phone lines. Let me tell you, Tucson, that makes this show so much more fruitful and so much more fun even than what it is already, when we get to have that back and forth, because that's what radio is about. As I've been saying, if you read something in the paper and you disagree, or you watch something on TV and you disagree, your best shot is you write something eloquent and get to the paper and they'll print it, right? Or you read something on a blog, you disagree, you can jump on the comment page and comment, but hope that someone on the interweb sees it. Here with local radio, you get to call in, make your point known, we have a conversation about it, and you help to drive the conversation on this show. So 790-2040 is your opportunity to do all of that. Some quick things to wrap up from last hour. It'll take me 60 seconds or less. Our producer today, John, I kept butchering an Abraham Lincoln quote. John got the right one up. I was saying it in relation to the Sanctuary Cities Initiative. Over the weekend, I started digging in. I started even going back to January and just catching up on articles, you know, things from Mike Rankin, the city attorney, the kind of early talking points of the Sanctuary Cities Initiative. I started that over the weekend, but according to the wise Abraham Lincoln, who said, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt, because I am still catching up on the last half year of that issue. I spent the back half of last hour just taking your calls, hearing what was on your mind, and getting ready for our call with one of the organizers. She'll actually be in studio on Thursday to talk more about it. So thank you, John, for getting the actual quote. We like to talk about actual things that are actually what they're supposed to be. The other thing is, speaking to that point, is I wanted to make sure that I did my duty real quick and just clarified that Tucson will be the first sanctuary city in Arizona, but not the first sanctuary city in the nation. I think that might have been hinted at in the last hour. And for example, California is actually, I think, considered a sanctuary state, if I'm recalling correctly from something I read yesterday or the day before. There's actually 20 sanctuary cities within California. So Tucson is by no means the first actual sanctuary city. The Sanctuary City Initiative organizers, I believe, harken back to Southside Presbyterian Church in the 80s that really got what has come to be known as the Sanctuary City movement started. So Tucson actually has some Sanctuary City roots. A lot of the principles of sanctuary cities did start unofficially here in Tucson, but Tucson is considered a friendly city, but not legally considered a sanctuary city in terms of changing city charter or city ordinances. We'd be the first in Arizona to do that, but like I said, in California, there's actually 20 communities that have legally become a sanctuary city. So just wanted to clarify that. I wanted to make sure that I addressed that and did my job. I'm trying to do that here on the show. So thank you for that. All right, we just have so much content. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get through all of it. I wanted to, we've been talking about some weighty topics in Tucson. I wanted to sprinkle in today a few lists in a positive way that Tucson was on over the last week or so, and talk about a few elements of it. So let me start with this. I'm going to start big picture and get into it. Tucson was ranked by Wallet Hub as one of 2019's best big cities to live in. Now, there's a deal of a grain of salt that I think needs to be taken with these listicles, these list articles, these best big cities to live in. They pull together a lot of data, but it's not like a Bureau of Economics or, you know, labor statistics or, you know, official research. But Tucson made it on this list. And there's one big thing that I want to note just to get started is that Tucson is on a list of best big cities. And here's why I think that's important. Yesterday, I was referencing some research that came out this month from McKinsey, a global consulting firm, that basically breaks the United States up into 13 types of communities. 13 types, from, you know, these big urban metropolises to what they consider Tucson to be, and that is a niche city, specifically a college university center community. And yesterday we talked about how 15 million jobs that are held by those 34 and under will be automated out or changed out or matured past in terms of the job market by 2030. And so this research I was referencing to that breaks the U.S. up into these 13 types of communities, and they do that to basically say the future of work, the future of automation, where our jobs are going to go from between now and 2030 will impact communities based on the type of community. So, for example, it'll hit a New York City way differently than it will hit Kansas City, you know, or Atlanta or Boston. That's not just monolithic. Okay, so that's basically what I'm referring to here in this segment. All that to say is that this research listed Tucson as a college-centric town. And they put us in the example of South Bend and Chapel Hill. So I went and I dug in a little bit because I wanted to figure out what those populations were. Here's what I was fascinated by. And this is where I think McKinsey got it wrong as far as Tucson. No, South Bend is about 120,000 people, right? Pete Buttigieg, Democratic candidate for president, really put South Bend on the map beyond just Notre Dame. Been in the news a lot. 120,000 people. Chapel Hill, North Carolina, is about between 70 and 80,000 people. Here's where I'm getting caught. And I love your thoughts on this, Tucson, because I'm processing it with you. 790-2040. Tucson is considered a college town, but our population is easily 5 to 6 times either of those communities. Right? So national research is looking at, you know, McKinsey, which I would say between McKinsey and Wallet Hub is a lot of credibility. Yeah, I'm just going to throw that out there. But McKinsey is looking at our community as a college town. And yet our population, our needs as a city, I think are exponential of what that research, for example, would consider to be a typical college town. And what made me think about that is this title, 2019's Best Big Cities to Live In. I'm interested by how Tucson, in one way, is so driven by the University of Arizona. I mean, it is in so many senses, and has been in so many ways, a university-driven community. I don't think anybody, whether they like that or not, can argue with that fact. It has been a university-driven community with all of the potential for tech. We'll get into that, because there is entrepreneurship, new kinds of economy, job creation. It has the feel of a niche university town, but with the population, the needs, and the size of a much bigger city. And so when I read articles like 2019's best big cities to live in, it makes me scratch my head and say, if you asked 10 Tucsonans about Tucson and said, do you consider Tucson to be a big city? Do you agree with this article that Tucson is a big city? My hunch would be that 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, this is gut, right? This isn't data driven. Just my gut would be that 8 or 9 of those folks you had lined up would say, I mean, it's a sprawling city. There's amount of people here, but we're not really a big city. We don't act like one. We don't think like one. We don't plan like one. We don't operate like one. And in many ways, I think most people would be okay with that. And there's a lot to be okay with there. There's also a lot of great concern. So if we are 5, 6, 7 times what a typical college town would look like, what does that say? What does that say about how we're thinking about our community? That was the first thing that I wanted to get to. Let me get into some of the quick numbers. These are easy numbers. If you're driving or working or hanging out, this isn't heavy stuff. I just wanted to share. So they ranked roughly 60 big cities in the country along a variety of metrics. And I'll get to your calls in a second. If you can hang in there for a minute, wanted to get through this. They ranked Tucson at 39. So Tucson was ranked 39 out of those roughly 60 cities researched. On the affordability scale, Tucson ranked at 29, right? So not bad. We're in the top half of affordability. As I've talked about a lot, that number is shifting, but it's still pretty good. Our economy rank shift, our economy rank is listed at number 37. So we're in the bottom half of that there. I've got a couple numbers to share with you, but I want to get to our numbers. We're ranked 29. It's a good number. Let's get to Carl on line 2. Carl, thanks for calling in. You're on 1030 The Voice.
Yes, I think whoever did that survey, and I think you as well, may be a little bit missing something here, and there's a bias in there that people don't recognize, and that is that I think Tucson is actually to a great extent a military-driven town with Davis-Monthan, Raytheon, and all of the other side things that go with the defense, and you've also got a huge mining contingency that's within Tucson. There's hundreds of small, 10, 20, 50 people, companies that work and support within the mining industry. And I think people are ignoring that and simply concentrating on the university because that's what they're familiar with and that's what they think is the important part of it. But you've got these other factors that are in there as well.
No, that's good, and I can't disagree with you one single bit. We've had the space sector on the show before. We've had the mining sector. Are you feeling like it's a stereotype more than a reality that we need to be branding beyond just being a university town? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. Because Tucson is not just a university town. I mean, if you look at it with unbiased eyesight, there's so much other stuff going on here that, the university, okay, granted, it's one of the biggest employers here, but how does it compare to Davis-Monthan?
Right. No, it's a good point. And one last question while I have you, Carl, is that a brand of Tucson that we perpetuate as citizens of the community? Do we not do enough to talk about some of these tech industries that are developing that we are doing well? And do we call ourselves a university town at the expense of what's actually going on?
Yes, you do, and it's a large part of it is due to the political bias of the, and being honest about it, people who don't like the military, people who don't, who want to get rid of Davis-Monthan, and people who do not like mining and want to get rid of mining.
Mm.
And you take a look at the city council, you take a look at the Pima County Board of Supervisors and the standings and the things that they have done, that's it. And the bias carries over to the people. Because they're the leaders, and they're the ones who are being interviewed and talked to, and they consciously or unconsciously leave out the rest of the stuff, and they concentrate on the university because that's what they want.
Carl, this was a great call. I hadn't thought of it in those terms before. I actually agree with you. I think that the platforms that speak about and into Tucson, again, this is a new perspective, but I agree with you, and I thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Okay. Goodbye.
And that's why I on this show that, you know, we focus on Tucson's entrepreneurial economy. How do we invest in and talk about Tucson's brand? How do we support our tech sector? We had Hexagon Mining on, we had Freefall on. These are sectors of our community that nobody is talking about in terms of the way that Carl suggested. Carl, once again, thank you for calling in. I absolutely agree with you on that. Thank you for that perspective. Let's see. We have Roberta on line two. Let's jump to Roberta. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Can you tell me how I can obtain a copy of the survey showing the affordability of cities?
Yes, absolutely. What I will do during the break is I will post this article on my Facebook page. Does that work for you?
No, I don't have access to that.
Not a problem. Before you hang up, could you leave your email with John, my producer, and I'll send you a copy of the article?
Oh, I appreciate that so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. All right. Let's keep going through our live line here. Who do we have? We don't have anybody on line three. All right. I am seeing things. So thanks for your calls. Keep calling in. I think you guys brought up some really good points that maybe even I was missing. But let me round the corner on this segment to where Tucson ranks on a certain level. We rank pretty good on our quality of life rank, no surprise. Our economy rank needs a bit of work, again, no surprise. But the one thing that I wanted to bring up is our safety rank. And so out of these roughly 60 cities surveyed, Tucson ranks at 52 in terms of the safety ranking, in terms of the safety ranking. And I had a friend of mine, I actually had him on the show recently, who posted this article and I looked through it. And there's so many good things starting to happen in Tucson. The one thing that continues to pop up, though, whether it's visitors, whether it's residents, is Tucsonans still have this sense, and I think other parts of the country do as well, of Tucson as a community that isn't as safe as it could be, that our public servants are just not staffed or financed enough to be able to be effective. And again, I argue in public policy, perception is reality, that what seems or is believed to be true until you change that narrative is true when you get down to the brass tacks. More on that in a second. Let's get to Chris on our live line. Chris, you're on 1030 The Voice. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks, Zach. Where was the city of Omaha in relation to Tucson on the surveys? Because I've lived in both cities,
yep.
And looking at both of them are college towns. Excuse me, you have University of Nebraska at Omaha. Both of them are large military towns, and the infrastructure and public safety aspects that you were just talking about are totally separate.
Yeah.
So, and the support for the military organizations, the support for the universities in Omaha is a lot more strong than it is here.
Chris, stay on for a second. I want to get into this with you if you have a minute. Omaha was ranked 19 on this list, so 20 spots ahead of Tucson when you look at the overall. And by the way, Mesa was number 18, so another Arizona city right next to Omaha. So tell us about Omaha.
Well, I was going to say, I lived there 30-some-odd years ago. And, you know, for a town in the Midwest that has the Missouri River right there, it's right on the border, you have a large university, a large sporting university, similar to the University of Arizona. You have a major command base there, similar to Davis-Monthan in size-wise and historically-wise. All right, but the city of Omaha, the city of, you know, Bellevue, the surrounding area, supports their military organization, unlike you see here with their city council.
Really?
So you do see those, you do see that dichotomy of issues between the two cities, especially, and you know, because they're comparable sizes.
Yeah, really interesting point. Chris, I thank you so much for calling in. That was valuable.
Thank you.
Yeah, great point. So Chris, that caller lived in Omaha for a number of years. Omaha is ranked 19 on this list. And again, these lists are valuable to an extent, right? This isn't the end-all, be-all list, and I'm sure there's holes to be poked, but it's a good reference point. Omaha was ranked 19 on this list. Tucson was ranked at 39. And let me wrap this up this way and keep those calls coming. This is good stuff. 790-2040 is this was not pulled out by me in order to pick on the community in any kind of way. In fact, I wanted to really have this hour have a tone that is a little bit more celebratory because there's some really exciting things that are starting to get momentum in Tucson. I think two things for me, though, that I took away from this is number one, I think the caller that started this segment and the last caller really hit on this well, is Tucson is a big city. It's really on people like me behind a mic. It's on our mayor and council, it's on our community to continue and to begin, if not already, seeing, talking about, visioning, and planning around Tucson as a big city. We, in my mind, we are no longer a small metropolis. There's a book that's written from Cowtown to Metropolis is roughly the title, written by Roy P. Drockman before he he was in kind of his later years here in Tucson. And we have grown as a city. And we are a big community. And I think there's, whether it's how we talk about it or how we plan or how we act, I don't think we live into that to the degree that we need to be. So that was a thought, is does Tucson consider itself how everybody else does, you know, as a multi-million person community, if not today, July 16, 2019, very, very near in the future. How do we shift that? And the other was, for all of the real positive momentum in terms of quality of life, economy, things like that, that put Tucson right about at the middle to the top, the top quarters of this list, we still struggle with at least a perception of our crime and poverty and safety ranking, that of all the top rankings we got on this list, we were in the 50s when it came to safety. And I would just say, I think that reiterates that I think one of our top priorities as a community is to make sure that our streets are adequately staffed with especially police that can create both an environment and an actual environment, both a feel and an actuality safety. One quick thought on that is I also don't think that you can arrest your way to community health, right? That there are some proposals happening in the city right now that kind of create that conversation of, you know, what is the public health background to some of the major criminal concerns we have in our community. You can't just arrest that away. But at the same time, how do we make sure that our streets are staffed appropriately? So this is just figuring out those appropriate levels. I don't think we're there yet. And neither do Tucson residents, to be honest, and neither do people sitting over at Wallet Hub that combine all of these national statistics into these lists. They don't think so either, and so I think that has to be a top of priority item. When we come back, we're going to continue with the good news and continuing with your calls. We've been hitting some pretty complex topics the last couple weeks on the show, so let's take a step back and celebrate that Forbes talks about Tucson as an underdeveloped market that could become a tech hub. Why? why is that? We'll get into it. And then three key themes that will drive city's strategies for job creation. What does that mean for Tucson and a changing economic landscape? We'll talk about that and more on 1030 The Voice when we return. Get on those phones, 790-2040. Tucson, welcome back to the show here on The Voice. The Creative City Show is what you're listening to right now with me, your host, Zach Yenser, as we talk about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And the more and more I get involved in the community, the more and more I realize that if we are not making decisions today based on the community that we want to see in 30 or 40 years, then we are really doing ourselves a disservice in many different ways. And so this show is really based on learning from the present, being informed by the past in order to shape the future in the best way possible. And your calls and your engagement is so critical to that happening. 790-2040. By the time we leave this show, John's going to have to go take a nap because we've kept him so busy on these phone lines. It's been lighting up like a Christmas tree today, and it makes my day. Go ahead, make my day. Call in Ron contact 790-2040. That is not what Arnold Schwarzenegger meant when he said, "Go ahead, make my day." But you can go ahead and make my day by calling in 790-2040 and being a part of the conversation. You know, I learn as much from you as I hope that you learn from listening to this show as we dig into some things. A couple of the calls last in the last segment really helped to flesh out our conversation about Tucson. Tucson got ranked on Wallet Hub's 2019 best cities to live in for our relative affordability, for the way that our economy is growing, for the opportunities here. Where it lagged and probably why it ranked more at 39 on a list of about 60 cities rather than higher is due in large part to remaining concerns about crime and safety and poverty in Tucson. And so I think that should be a top of priority. Well, the good news continues, and I wanted to keep along with the theme of the Creative City Show by highlighting the momentum of what's going on well, just as we take head on the issues that have the greatest opportunity and impact on Tucson. I want to highlight what's going well. And what I want to talk about in this segment, we'll get to your calls before I dig in, but this Forbes article that highlights Tucson in it. It's always awesome to see these national and global media companies that write on city issues to see Tucson in a positive way in those lists. In a recent CBRE report, Tucson was identified as an underdeveloped market that could become a tech hub. These include, I quote, "Tucson, where the 15,700 person tech workforce represents a 90% increase from 5 years ago. 90% increase from 5 years ago. These cities are transforming to a more tech-oriented employment structure. Tech employers are looking into those areas and providing the kind of infrastructure to build a small but budding tech ecosystem with startups and other services that sort of facilitate the incubation of tech companies." How often do we talk about all that on the show? Tucson, we're doing good work together. Let's jump to Sharon on line two. Sharon, what's on your mind? I appreciate you calling in.
Hi, thank you for your attitude and for having this forum. I agree with your caller that the city of Tucson has had a bias against military and law enforcement and economic growth within the city limits for the past 30 years that I've been involved. And I don't know when you talk about the region, if you're including all of Pima County, because I think Marana, Sarita, Vail, and Oral Valley are all thriving and give Pima County very robust opportunities for economic growth and startups. But I think in the city of Tucson, if you look at the last economic data that came out on the MAP dashboard, the level of poverty in the city of Tucson, yes, the level of renters is really increasing. And it's directly related to TUSD and Sunnyside. It's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. It's been 25 years since I was an active volunteer. Both my kids graduated from TUSD. But until you get new leadership on the TUSD board, I'm talking about Adelita, and get a new direction that can figure out how to grow the academic programs, attract teachers and keep them, and engage families across all cultures and economics, it's going to be a challenge to grow Tucson, because these young entrepreneurs who are doing startup tech, within a few years, they're going to want to have families. And then they move to Vail, to Marana,
yep,
to Catalina, to Foothill. So I don't know what the answer is. Many good people have tried and left the board. The TUSD board has got to come to grips with the economics and how they use their funds, and be accountable to the families to provide quality academics in a very safe and welcoming setting. And it's a huge, huge problem, I think, for Tucson's growth.
Sharon, thank you so much for your call. And it was almost as if, and maybe you were listening to yesterday, my conversation with Louis Christensen. We kicked off by talking about family flight in Tucson. It's an elephant in the room, and it's a touchy subject. And at the best, if the challenges with TUSD are even just perception, right? If there's good things going on and some of these things are being solved at its very best, right? If that's the best case scenario, there is still a massive perception challenge about TUSD that I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, with ourselves as a community, the education quality within the city of Tucson. When I talk about region, Sharon, by the way, I'm talking specifically the MSA, the fancy word, Metropolitan Statistical Area, that would include the surrounding cities and towns that are in our metro, but specifically within the city of Tucson, within that inner part of that overall metro community, the largest part, the elephant in the room, again, just to speak to it honestly, as someone who cares about the community, is the education system. And it is, and it has been, for whatever reason, pushing a lot of people out into the fringes. And that's okay in some regards, from a regional standpoint, but in terms of Tucson's long-term sustainable momentum and growth, Sharon, I can't agree with you more. It's the elephant in the room. I'm starting to talk about it more and more. A lot of shows on this station have been hitting the topic for a long time. But this is something I want to talk about more and more, because it's frustrating and it's scary. And I think it's changed so much, even over 10, 15 years even. I know Sharon mentioned, I think you were talking about 20 or 25 years. You know, I think back to, you know, the last 20 now that I'm thinking about it, and things have just changed so much in terms of people's confidence within Tucson. It's just not it's not where it should be. So anyway, as you can tell, I could talk about this as a topic for a while. But Sharon, thank you for your call. I would agree. I think the way that we think and consider ourselves as a military community, as a community that supports appropriate public safety, I'm not a guy that's on the fringes of either of those things, of those conversations. But I'm definitely, you know, someone who thinks, look, you know, Omaha has figured out a way, you know, right, to be able to celebrate its status as a university town, as a military town, and you're seeing the benefits of that. So I'm just looking at the national landscape, looking at Tucson and going, you know, look, what are those great things about us that we want to keep and pushing forward? What are those things that are already good going on? And then what are those things that we need to work on, and how do we improve those and make those things work better? I agree with so many of our calls today, quite honestly, and just as I'm putting the puzzle pieces together. Keep those calls coming. I am learning with you. That is for sure. I certainly hope that that what we talk about on this show is valuable to you. But I got to tell you, what you call in with is just as valuable to me in learning about our community together. I really do mean that. That's not a kumbaya statement. I benefit from your knowledge and expertise, and so does this show. So 790-2040. So right before Sharon's call, talked about how Tucson is being ranked as what they call an underdeveloped market that could become a tech hub. And I actually think that this CBRE report, I got this across my desk today, actually, earlier this morning, and I didn't get a chance to look at the full CBRE report. But I actually agree with the CBRE assessment of Tucson here. There has been a nearly 16,000 person tech workforce expansion. It's a 90% increase from 5 years ago. That is incredible. 5 years ago, we had 10% of the tech workforce that we do now. Let's get back to one of our caller's points. We've got a space hub developing. We have an aerospace hub developing. We have a mining hub developing. We don't talk about those things enough in Tucson. I've had at least two of those sectors on my show recently because it's that important. We do talk about that on the Creative City show. But let's take 2 minutes and talk about this importance of a tech-oriented employment structure. I think over the last 10 or 15 years, getting the creative class, you know, in your community was a sacred cow, right? It was one of these things that kind of was a keeping up with the Joneses. Everybody's got to get the hippest, most coolest, most educated, most teched out, you know, most smartest, you know, young. And I know I made a grammatical error that was on purpose. Our listeners have been correcting each other and myself all morning. It's been fun. So that one, I know I made a boob. It was on purpose. But this was kind of like the keeping up with the Joneses item. I want to recognize that to be true and to be cautious of the trendiest. Where does our economy need to go? Where does our city need to go? Because it can just become superficial. But the more and more that I'm looking at the future of work, the future of jobs, the future is in technology. If communities like ours are going to weather what the next 10, 20, 30 years are going to look like, we need to make sure that we are developing our STEM industries, that we are developing our tech and our innovation industries. I agree with the sentiment that it is dishonest to tell each other that we can have what we once had, that we can go back, that what we once had in terms of what drove our economies, we can have that again. It's just not true. And Tucson still has a very dominant food and service and retail industry and office support industry. We've grown past that a bit over the last 5-10 years to this article's point, and that's a good thing. But we have to make sure that our economy is maturing. And the economy that we're going to need over the next 50 years to really prevent slow growth post-recession, to prevent economic downturns, is going to be really what I think President Robbins at the U of A has been pushing. That's the fourth industrial revolution. That's, again, STEM-focused, technology-focused. And so I wanted to say that to say that I think we have to be careful as communities of trying to be keeping up with the Joneses and making sure that we are having the right conversations for the right reason, not just saying, well, somebody else has this, so we have to have it as well. It's an arms race. I think the right reason for saying, look, how do we retain talent in Tucson? How do we become a place where companies who want to relocate or want to grow from the beginning say, look, I can get my resources, my funding, my talent, and my support system. I can get it all in Tucson. How do we get to that point? How do we become not just an underdeveloped tech hub, but how do we take this 90% increase in our tech workforce and turn it into an economic engine for us? The right reason for that is to not keep up with the Joneses. It's not to be, you know, the next big city on a listicle. It's so that our kids and our grandkids can have a future that works for them when it needs to, 20 and 30 years down the road. And I think there's a lot intergenerationally we can do in Tucson to say, look, putting aside our politics, putting aside our generational differences, we probably all care about, you know, what my 2-year-old's Tucson is going to look like when she's 20 and 25. We all care about that. Let's figure out what that looks like together, because if anything, that's the one thing that we care about. So I just wanted to throw that thought out there. I think there's a lot of communities, again, I'll say it one more time, that are putting policies in place that are in place just to keep up with the Joneses. They look to the West Coast, they look to the East Coast, they look north, they look south, and they go, well, we don't have what they have. We need what they have. You know, we need to be all in, no questions asked, growth, 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 job, job, jobs, economics, economics, economics. And I think that this is the right reason to be talking about these topics. So that is my thought on that. Again, in the context of Tucson, in the last 5 years, has just had some incredible positive momentum in getting to this next step of Tucson. I wanted to highlight that. Let's see. Let's squeak in one more caller before we head to our last break of the hour. We have Robert on our live line. Robert, you're on 1030 The Voice. Thanks for calling.
I appreciate your show. I just wanted to follow up on the lady that called in about TUSD in Sunnyside.
Yes.
What I've seen the downfall is we have a charter school every other block, and to me, they're sucking the education system dry in Arizona, because I don't see where these schools are being of any benefit to any TUSD. I guess are hurting them because kids are leaving the school to go to these alternative schools because parents want a private school experience with no cost. Why is our education like 47th or 48th in the nation if these charter schools are working? I think we need to have people start paying tuition if they want their kids to get a private school tuition and put our money back in our school districts, and we could retain our kids in TUSD and Sunnyside, and it wouldn't be a financial burden, as that lady mentioned.
Mm. Robert, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Just to piggyback on that, here's where I'm genuinely at on the issue as I'm looking into this. Real quick before we go to a break, this is to Robert's point, and I appreciate it. It's interesting to look at, like, for example, Cory Booker, right, who is supported by, you know, the pro-public education unions and groups in the country right now. When he was mayor of Newark, the public education system was just so broken. It was in shambles. And one of the ways that he was a part of trying to get that revived again was to actually, he was pro-choice. A lot of people don't know this about Democratic candidate Cory Booker. He was pro-choice in terms of pro-school choice. I should clarify, he was pro-school choice before he wasn't. And a lot of mayors, a lot of city leadership around the country over the last 10, 15 years have turned towards charter schools, school choice, private schooling, because they have less influence on the public education system. They turn towards supporting through their bully pulpit school choice and private schools and charter schools. As a way to bring a competitive force to improve the public education system. So that's one method that I've seen done. On the other hand, I talked to young professionals, for example, who will say so many of my friends who stayed in Tucson because they went through a public school system where there was a neighborhood elementary, a neighborhood middle, and a neighborhood high school. And open enrollment was even off the table. So you knew where you lived, this was going to be my school. And retention and community health is in so many ways tied to a healthy local neighborhood-based schooling system. So all that to say is, I think, Robert, you brought up a really valuable point. I am always weighing those two things and figuring out what is the best way to have more and more investment, higher quality local education, and there's compelling reasons, honestly, on both sides of the spectrum when it comes to a city and many strategies that cities have tried, and so it's really, really important. That's kind of my thoughts on that. Robert, thanks for calling in. Let's head to our break. I'm getting the eye from John. John, thank you for producing this show. We put you to work today, but it's a beautiful thing. Tucson, 790-2040. A few more minutes to let your opinions and thoughts be heard. When we come back, 3 strategies our city can use to prepare for the job shift of the future. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome back to the show. This has been a fast-paced full show of you and I having a conversation about the future of Tucson, as we always do on Tuesdays. By the way, if you're new to the show or you haven't tuned in on a Tuesday, this is what Tuesday is about on the show. We carve out at least an hour. It's actually been more today. We carve out an hour to talk about big ideas that could have a big impact on the city of Tucson and on our region. And we do talk metro, we talk region, we talk Southern Arizona, because that's where our signal is. So we cover a lot of things, but we take Tuesdays to talk about our region. I wanted to end the show because we've been circling around this quite a bit over the last couple of days, looking at this report out of McKinsey this month, a well-respected global consulting firm, for what it's worth, that talks about how, as they pull together data, they expect about 15 million jobs held by those under 34 to be automated away or changed or gone by 2030. And so what does that mean for cities today? What are our strategies for job creation in this new future of work? And that's been driving a good deal of our conversation here on the show together. And again, one more time, thanks, John, for your help today with our Christmas tree phone line. It has just been one call right after the other, and it's a beautiful thing. So a few quick thoughts just to close us out. Technology will cause jobs in some occupations to shrink and others to grow. An article by Smart Cities Dive talks about exactly what we're talking about. But technology will also create jobs, mainly in healthcare, STEM, business or legal professionals, creatives or arts management, and work requiring personal interaction. So when we talk about, yay, Tucson has a 90% increase in our tech workforce, we're an underdeveloped tech hub, right? We're not just talking about this because all the cool kids do it, right? We're talking that in 10 years, the communities where they are embracing technology to train and create new jobs that don't even exist yet are communities that survive the shift in the future of work. So if you, whether you are 34 or under, or you will be in that age, or you are a parent of someone at the U of A or someone graduating high school, this matters. This is why we talk about these things in Tucson, because the landscape that we've been living in is quickly shifting from under our feet. Job growth and loss from automation will be universal, but it will not be felt evenly. The places where new jobs do appear might not align with the skills of workers in those regions, so communities will face the challenge of addressing local mismatches and helping workers gain the new skills necessary to succeed. Dr. Lee Lambert got a lot of heat even within the last year for some of the things that he's doing with Pima Community College. I'm an ardent fan of what he's doing. I'm unapologetic fan, because he gets it. Right? When he partners with TuSimple, this autonomous, semi-autonomous truck company, to create a certificate program that helps to train truck drivers who currently have a commercial license to be able to operate these new type of trucking vehicles, right? That's taking one of the largest sectors of our national economy, the trucking industry, and providing a fast and rapid way to re-educate, to be able to maintain jobs in that industry, even though it's different. That's 10 years ahead of its time. That's one of the things that in Tucson we can say we are ahead of the curve. It's a beautiful thing. And then number three, local public sector leaders must work with private sector leaders and educators to overcome challenges. To collaboration on job matching and mobility, skills and training, support for workers in transition, and overall economic development and job creation. Right now, for example, the Metro Chamber is working hard on workforce development and a workforce pipeline from our high schools and universities into the workforce. Once we figure that out for today, it's got to be a model that goes 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. Once we master that for the current reality in Tucson, that's an ongoing process, because that's how economies and communities of the future can survive and thrive. So I wanted to hit on that. Tucson, thank you. This has been an incredibly fun Tuesday with you. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for engaging. Thank you for the Christmas tree phone lines here on 790-2040. It's been an absolute pleasure. Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick calls in on the Bill Buckmaster Show right here at noon. Shelley Fishman comes on. Ryan Hansen, segment three. And Narlee Sheehan comes on in segment four, another full Bill Buckmaster show at noon. Hey, I mentioned something that's coming later this week. I will confirm it with you tomorrow, but it looks like Senator Martha McSally will be on the show. I want to talk to her specifically. I got 15 minutes with her. I want to talk about what many call the sleeper issue in Tucson, and that is water. I'll have 15 minutes with her to talk about water. I'll confirm with you when that's happening on Thursday, tomorrow. Until then, Tucson, stick around for the Bill Buckmaster Show. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, of this show, the Creative City Show, here on 1030 The Voice. I will see you tomorrow. Thanks again. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.